women are agents of good, agents of community building, of economy building, of society building. If that potential will be unleashed, societies will be much better off than they are today.
Hello, this is the Weekly Tradecast, a podcast brought to you by UNCTAD, the UN's trade and development body. I'm Sarah Toms. We're exploring how major events are shaping trade and development and how that affects billions of people around the world. This week, we're marking the UN's International Women's Day on the 8th of March, which is focusing on investing in women. Our special guest is Rebecca Grinspan, UNCTAD Secretary General. Overall, the outlook for gender equality is not as bright as it should be. Women and girls make up nearly half of humanity, but still lack equal opportunities in societies and economies. That means women often get less access to education and healthcare, are paid less than men, and are more likely to leave work to care for families. To create more inclusion by 2030 as part of the UN's Sustainable Development Goals, it's vital to invest more in women. That kind of investment makes good business sense, with studies showing that advancing women's equality could add trillions of dollars to global growth. Well, to find out more, we're joined now by Rebecca Grinspan. She's an economist, a former vice president of Costa Rica, and also the first woman to lead the UN's trade and development body in its 60-year history. Well, thank you for joining us, Secretary General.
Thank you, Sarah.
Tell me, why are women still more likely than men to struggle with disparity? And are things getting any better?
Well, let me first start by saying that things are better. You know, I can see in myself and I can see in my daughter that the opportunities that I had were far wider than the ones my mother had. Right. But still, I see the disparity. Things are changing. This is not happening in a fast way. And that is what really worries us. And the second thing that worries us is that we see regress. In the pandemic, it was very clear, you know, women didn't get back to the labor market as before. Services were not restored as rapidly and to the level that we had before. So women are still suffering the impact of the pandemic and the cascading crisis, the multiple crises that followed the pandemic. So we will need a re-engagement into this agenda so we can really make the SDGs happening and the rate of progress for women faster than we have now.
So what effect do these disparities have on trade and economies and on development overall?
Well, you know, all the research that we have done really shows that one of the main instruments we have for faster growth is women empowerment. And you ask yourself, why, if this is the most powerful instrument that economists and politicians have in their hands to really make the promise of shared prosperity happen, why it doesn't happen? And here you have to go to many reasons. You have to go to the very entrenched way of societies to organize themselves. And the truth is that parity and women empowerment means also some of the, how would you say, the perks that men have that have to go away. And that is not an easy struggle. It's a power struggle, yes. And so that's why it's difficult. And the other reason is that it's such a huge change that affects every aspect of our life. It affects the kitchen and the house and the children and the relations between men and women at a personal level.
How do we see the impact of this disparity?
Oh, huge. because it affects women and girls, and obviously it affects the capacities and the opportunities for women to contribute to society. I say very often, Sarah, that we should not see women as a vulnerable group. In fact, women are agents of change, agents of good, agents of community building, of economy building, of society building. Women are vulnerable because their rights have been weakened. You lose all that talent, all that capacity, all that opportunities to contribute to society. And there is no doubt that if that potential will be unleashed, societies will be much better off than they are today.
Now, investing in women is an inspiring theme for this year's International Women's Day. But what do we need to do in the real world to actually drive gender equality, and who needs to be part of it?
We all need to be part of it. Let's say, you know, women movement and women action has been able to do so much. No doubt about it. And we see it everywhere, yes? Nothing in this field has happened spontaneously. It has happened with a struggle and with perseverance and with collective action. Now, is that enough? We need the rest of society. We need men. We need the political elite to really commit themselves, because it's the only way to maintain it through time. You will need to persevere. You will need to be there all the time. And I understand the resistance. We cannot label everybody as evil because they resist this change. You need to convince. You need to talk. You need to educate. And so you need all levels of society to be carried with you.
What would you say are the priority areas for investment, and how can they get the funding they need?
There are two areas that is not a surprise to us, yes? Two areas that have the most impact also on the other SDGs, and those are women equality and education. Again, going to your question of what society loses if we don't do it, here is part of the answer. Yeah? We lose the possibility of getting to a better world through the SDGs that we all agreed on as being the most important agenda that collectively we have put together. We need to invest a lot in education, but also not only on access to education for women. We have advanced a lot there, but still in many areas of the world, the completion of education is a challenge for women. The issue of more parity in the careers, in engineering, in the math, in the science, in the physics, where we need to incentivize more participation of women in this new agenda, you know, in this digital and AI world. We will need the diversity, the voices, the perspective that women bring to those fields. So education, no doubt. The other thing is financing, the economic empowerment, the opportunities for women to come into the labor market, to do it in a way that will give them some economic independence, that will also allow them to thrive. For example, entrepreneurship for women still finds a lot of obstacles, and they come mainly from the obstacles and constraints to get financing. And thirdly, there is the issue of the law. The legal framework has to help. And not everywhere we have really been able to get rid of many of the legal constraints on women with respect to their capacity to decide, to be independent, to be individuals, to have the full of the human rights that we want for them.
Well, Secretary General, you mentioned our digital age. What part does technology play in either hindering or helping women? And how can we turn any constraints into new opportunities?
Yeah, and as you say, like everything, every technological advance that we have had in the world, it has had the good and the bad in it. Yes, and is society the one that has to act to make the good more relevant and the opportunities that comes with the new technologies be distributed equally through the members of society to avoid the increase of the gaps and the inequalities that are also entrenched in society. So here it is no different. There is no doubt that access of women to the digital economies, that has proven in many parts of the world to be a very, very strong tool, you know, for women advance. But at the same time, the gap persists. The numbers are very clear in terms of women having much less access than men to the new technologies. But there is also this other aspect, that is women also shaping the technologies. And why is this important? Because we know that, for example, many of the algorithms just reproduce the inequalities that are already in society, that have biases against women incorporated in the data, because data is provided by society, and society has still the inequalities, the biases, the gaps that we know. And so having women not only be users of technology, but be also the shapers of technology is as important for better and more equal future for all.
Where are you seeing examples of women in leadership really advancing gender equality, and how are they doing it?
Well, I see it everywhere. I have to say that, you know, my generation, in a way, at some point asked itself if the young women will follow. And I see them on fire. I really see everywhere young women coming through the ranks of politics, through the ranks of society, fighting for their rights, making a difference. I feel, in a way, despite this very difficult moment for the world, I feel optimistic in my belief in the new generations. Yes. That doesn't mean it's easy. It's still difficult in many parts of the world, more difficult than in others. But even in our societies, and I look at Latin America that has advanced a lot in women political representation and participation, you know, in parliaments as heads of state and government. You see really in my region a huge difference, but it's still not parity. Still, gaps persist. So I would say here two things. One is that I believe leadership is important. The pressure on leaders, men and women, to take a stand in the defense of women, human rights, and equality is very important. And we have to organize politically to demand the leadership to respond to our aspirations. But on the other hand, it's again to understand that it's a collective effort. Yeah, that's something that I have learned in my life. And a little bit of humility, humbleness, you would say in English, yes, here is necessary. It's true that your own effort is an important part of what you achieve in life, but none of us would have been able to be where we are if it was not for other women fighting for our rights. And so we have the responsibility to do the same and to come together in a collective effort to continue advancing on this path.
And lastly, to finish up with, in honor of International Women's Day, what advice do you have for women and girls, young girls, maybe not so young girls?
I always tell women and young women, remember that progress is not linear, and there is no linearity in your life either. You know, we have to make difficult choices many times in our lives, but don't give up your dreams. Don't give up a vision of your own life. Try to be a master of it. And not because linearity will be promised, but precisely because linearity won't be there. zigzag is part of our lives many times. So keep going forward. Keep your dreams alive. Talk to others. Don't try to do this alone. You know, there are a lot of women there that will understand, and people there that will understand what you are going through. So share and organize in a collective effort.
Well, thank you so much, Secretary General. That was Rebecca Grinspan, Secretary General of the UN's Trade and Development Body, who was this week's guest. Tune into the Weekly Tradecast next week and every week for more insights on the most pressing issues around the world of trade and development. And there's even more on our website, unctad.org. I'm Sarah Thomas in Geneva. Goodbye for now.